Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E.
All right, Dan, I have a problem, and you need to explain this to me. As you know, Major League Baseball does the thing where they announce the 3 finalists for their awards, and then, you know, they have the big reveal on MLB Network and all that stuff. And, you know, going over the awards, I didn't have a huge issue with most of them, except one, Dan, and I am so confused by this one. I need somebody to help me out, and that would be the AL Rookie of the Year Award. Now, we all know that they gave the award to Yordan Alvarez after he played a week in the majors, so he's going to win it. But the nominees, Dan, are not, besides Alvarez, are Brandon Lau of Tampa Bay and John Means of Baltimore. Okay, now, there's a guy, Dan, if I told you there was a guy who played in the second most games as a rookie, had the most at-bats, the most home runs, the most RBIs, and had a respectable .267 average, you would think, especially in today's power game, that he would be one of the 3 finalists, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. Lau played in 82 games because of injuries. All right, this other guy played in 122. Lau hit 17 home runs to this guy's 31, drove in 51 RBIs to this guy's 79, and did hit 3 points higher at .270. Dan, I don't get it. Why in the hell isn't Eloy Jimenez a finalist for Rookie of the Year in the American League?
Because he's on the team that all the reporters forget about.
You know, I mean, I just don't get what the hell they're looking at. You know, when it comes to this, it's ridiculous. So, you know what I mean? You know, I knew they threw Means in there. I kind of figured that when he made the All-Star team. He was 12-11 with a .360 ERA and 27 starts over 31 games. Threw 155 innings for one of the worst teams in baseball. Okay, great. You know, you want to throw him in there, that's fine. There's absolutely no way Brandon Lau belongs as a finalist in front of Jimenez, or probably even Vlad Guerrero Jr.
I mean,
you know, we're...
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we're flawed before the voting even starts.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, I mean, does it mean for manager of the year going to Tampa Bay manager?
Well, he is one of the finalists.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, my guess is Aaron Boone will probably win it and probably deserves to win it with all the crap the Yankees went through this year with injuries and all that stuff. But I don't, you know, you know, at least they had three decent candidates, you know, Rocco Baldelli of the Twins, and then Boone of the Yankees and Kevin Cash of the Rays. You know, those are three really respectable candidates. But, yeah, I just thought, you know, I thought AL Rookie of the Year was a complete joke. And I don't understand how you can't find a spot for Eloy Jimenez. I don't know what the hell they were looking at. You know, because, you know, like the National League, you know, I'm okay with this. It's Pete Alonso, Mike of the Mets, Mike Soroka of the Braves, and then Fernando Tatis Jr. of the Padres hangs on. It would be a bigger debate if Tatis Jr. had stayed healthy. But, you know, Alonso's going to run away with this award. I mean, he hit 50 bombs. And, you know, while Soroka had actually had a really good year for, you know, especially for a rookie pitcher, you can't compete with 53 homers and 120 RBIs as a, you know, as a pitcher in today's game. Even though, let me find Soroka's numbers here. He did go 13-4 with a 2.68 ERA and 29 starts. So, you know, I mean, his numbers are fantastic, but, you know, yeah, we're looking at Alonso, who is, you know, like I said, 53-120 with a 2.60 average and an OPS of 9.41. So you're not going to get past that. He's going to win that in a landslide, isn't he?
Oh yeah.
So, you know, and then since I threw out the one, the NL Managers of the Year, again, this is another respectable group. You got Craig Counsell of the Brewers, you got Mike Schilt of the Cardinals, and Brian Schnitker of the Braves, actually trying to repeat. He won the award last year. You know, I don't have a huge problem with that. But let's start, like you asked me just before we came on the air, who's going to win the AL MVP award? And I was a little surprised by one of the finalists here. Obviously, you have Alex Bregman of the Astros and Mike Trout of the Angels. But Marcus Semien of the A's actually gets on the board. And now, you know, this, of course, is just one more thing that frustrates me, because they pay attention to Semien, who had a really good year and does deserve some, you know, candidacy as MVP. But yet you can't pay attention to Eloy Jimenez, who's leading the rookies in all these categories. Were they just not smart enough to realize his name was on top of the list?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure it out, too. I mean, he should have been an MVP voter.
So, yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, it appears the battle here is going to be between Trout and Bregman. You know, they had given Trout the award when he got hurt, but him getting hurt allowed Bregman to not only catch him, but pass him in every category except for home runs and stolen bases. So are they going to throw the stolen bases in our face again, Dan, because Trout has 11 and Bregman only has 5?
Yeah, I don't think you can unless it was like 30-5, like it was when Mickey was there.
Yeah. You know, and again, like I said, you know, Semien deserves some credit. He was probably Oakland's best player. He had 33 bombs and 92 RBI. He had 285. You know, out of all these guys, he was the leader in hits. He had more hits than any of the three, but he's a distant third compared to where Bregman and Trout are. It's really just the decision between those guys. You know, and, you know, one of the things I just hope, Dan, and I always worry because these guys are incredibly stupid when it comes to putting a ballot together. I hope they were at least smart enough to put Jorge Soler in their top 10 picks, because while he doesn't deserve to win it, he deserves votes. So, but yeah, I don't know, Dan, you know, looking at this, I really think Bregman deserves to win it. You're talking about the guy who's a catalyst of a team that just went to the World Series. While Trout is, you know, he's probably the best player on a game in the game, on a team that finished under 500. So I don't know, you know, now if it was anybody else, you damn well know they would be bringing that up. But since it's Mike Trout, they're not going to say a word about it. You know, I would probably have to go with Bregman here, you know, with Trout, you know, a close second. But I definitely think it's Bregman's award, which means Trout is probably going to run away with it and be a unanimous selection. Where are you on this?
No, I am going with Bregman.
So yeah, and you know, I mean, obviously, you know, there are a lot of guys who deserve consideration. I mean, as weird as it sounds, you got to throw DJ LeMahieu in there because you know the Yankees wouldn't have been where they were if they didn't make that signing. And again, I go back to the point where there were people ripping the Yankees for making that signing because they just didn't try Tulowitzki. So, you know, how stupid are some of these guys who are supposed to be sports experts? You know, your guy Xander Bogaerts had a really good year. He, you know, so did Rafael Devers. You know, if the Red Sox would have been in the race, we would have been talking about them battling each other for MVP.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are some names there, but yeah, it's got to be between Bregman and Trout with Simeon, sadly, a distant third. I got a feeling that, you know, they'll want to give it to Trout, even though he probably doesn't deserve it, but you know how much they love him no matter what he does. So, then, you know, we got the National League here, Dan. We got our three finalists, Cody Bellinger, Anthony Rendon, and Christian Yelich. Now, you know, Yelich missed a chunk there of the season, only ended up playing 130 games. So, you know, while he's still got good numbers, that kind of, I think, hurts him a little bit. You know, obviously, Bellinger and Yelich have the power numbers on Rendon. You know, they're both 10-plus homers better than he is. He drove in more runs, though. He was the RBI guy, and he had a better run average than Bellinger, but not Yelich. You know, this one is really tight here, Dan. I'm not sure, you know, where I – like, I thought I was leaning towards Rendon, but I'm not sure. I mean, you know, I know Bellinger really struggled down the stretch, but even with that, his numbers are fantastic. I kind of discount Yelich because he'd been out, you know, towards the end when you make hay. He missed about the last couple weeks of the season. So I just kind of discount that. Even though you could throw in the fact that he did steal 30 bases and people are going to account for that. I don't know, Dan, who you got?
You know, I would probably lean between Rendon and Bellinger, but I don't know. I'd like to see Rendon get it.
So yeah, like I said, I was kind of leaning that way, but it's definitely a difficult decision there. I mean, you know, how to kind of go about it. So we'll have to see. You know how it kind of floats out there, but I don't, like my guess is, you know, Pete Alonso will probably pick up some votes because of the home runs, and you gotta wonder who else kind of finds their way on the ballot. You know, Arenado had a good year, so did Freddie Freeman. You know, you wonder if Acuna is gonna get a lot of credit because he was. Was he a 40-40 guy? He was a 30-30 guy. So, you know, you wonder if maybe he'll pick up some votes there. I think I would like to see Rendon win it, even though I don't think I'd have a problem if Bellinger won it. So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. But then we get to, you know, Dan, this is probably the toughest one out of all. American League Cy Young. You know what we got? We got two Astros. We got Garrett Cole and Justin Verlander. And then Charlie Morton. Here you go, Chuck. Way to have a great year. You know, Verlander and Cole are 1-2 in wins. You know, Verlander had 21. Cole had 20. They're 1-2 in ERA. Cole was 250. Verlander was 258. Verlander did make one more start. So he ended up being the innings guy. He had 223 to lead the American League. Cole finished third at 212 and one-third of an inning. Shane Bieber got in between them there. I when we did this earlier, Dan, I know you bailed. I'm kind of leaning towards Verlander here. I think it. You know, they both had 300 strikeouts. Cole had 326. Verlander had 300. So I was kind of leaning that way. I think the no hitter that Verlander kind of leaned in his way. Where are you? Are you going to vote for Charlie Morton, who was 16-6 with a 305 ERA, by the way? He didn't have a bad year. He just happened to have it the same time as these guys were out of control.
Yeah, you know, I voted for Albrady. No, I'm kidding.
For who?
I said I voted Albrady.
Oh, I thought you voted for Lucas Giolito.
No, but I mean, seriously, I lean with Justin Verlander.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, these other guys, you know, like Bieber will probably, you know, get some votes. You know, Giolito should get some votes. You know, these aren't guys who are going to win it, but they deserve. You know, Eduardo Rodriguez had a really good year for a down Red Sox team. You know, I don't think people realize he was 19-6 for them. The only good thing about their starting rotation. So, you know, these guys will get some votes. But, yeah, it's definitely – it's Verlander and Cole. There's no other way you can look at it there. It's just flipping the coin and trying to pick between which one you want. And I'm sure there's a lot of people doing that going, okay, give me that coin and let me see what I got. So – and then we got the National League, Dan. We got Jacob DeGrom looking to repeat from the Mets, Hyunjin Ryu of the Dodgers, and then Max Scherzer seems to win the award every other year here. Let's see, where are they here? Ryu was 14-5 with a 2.32 ERA. And where are DeGrom and Scherzer on the wins list? Maybe I should have sorted this another way. Here's DeGrom down at 11-8 with a 2.43 ERA. Did Scherzer not win 11 games this year, Dan? I don't see him on the list. All right, let's sort it a different way and see where I can find Scherzer at. No, come on. So... oh, there we go. Yeah, he was 11-7. So, you know, he only made 27 starts. Ryu made 29. DeGrom did make 32 and was the only guy out of the three over 200 innings. Ryu has the best ERA at 2.32, but DeGrom, to be fair, is right behind him at 2.43. Scherzer, no slouch at 2.92. Those guys were just a little better. Gee. You know, Dan, the more I go through the stats, I'm wondering if maybe they voted for the wrong guys and there might have been better choices there. I know Strasburg's ERA was a little higher, but at least he won 18 games. All being said and done here, Dan, I think if I had to pull one of these rabbits out of the hat, I would probably go with Ryu this year. I like him a little better than DeGrom, and I think Scherzer finishes third this year. Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm leaning for Scherzer, but I really like Wright. I'm going to go with Scherzer.
You know, and I won't. This will be the one. I won't be surprised if any of these three guys win it. You know, that it's just kind of the way it's been going there. You know, they all had really good, solid years, but none of them, like, jumped out at you and said, oh, yeah, hey, give me this award. So, we'll have to see how that goes. And I don't think there was I know they don't even really include them, but there wasn't even really – you know, maybe if Kirby Yates wasn't 0-5 with the Padres, we could make a case for him with a 1.19 ERA and 41 saves. But when you lose all five of your decisions, you're not getting any vote. You're not going to have a candidacy there. So, sorry, Kirby. But you did have a great year. I don't know, was he a National League Reliever of the Year?
I think so.
So that's what, we're kind of looking at. They'll start handing out these awards. I don't even know when they're going to start throwing these things out there. So we'll see. Oh, yeah, here. Actually, it was Josh Hader, Dan, was the National League Reliever of the Year.
Hader.
He beat out Yates, even though Yates had four more saves and four less blown saves. Hader beat him out. So, and then in the American League, it was Aroldis Chapman, who was he was second in saves behind Ozuna, 30. Oh, oh God. He had 37. Ozuna had 38. Chapman blew five saves. Ozuna blew six. Chapman had the better ERA. Nothing wrong with that choice there, right? You don't have a problem with that?
No.
So, and then they handed out the Gold Glove. No real arguments here. I'll just throw the names at you. The American League, it was Roberto Perez at catcher, Matt Olson at first, Yolmer Sanchez at second, Matt Chapman at third, Francisco Lindor at short, Alex Gordon in left, Kevin Kiermaier in center, Mookie Betts in right, and then Mike Leake got the pitching Gold Glove. In the National League, it was JT Realmuto at catcher, Anthony Rizzo at first, Colton Wong at second, Nolan Arenado at third, Nick Ahmed at short, left field, Lorenzo center, Cody Bellinger in right, and Zach Greinke got the pitcher award there. So,
the only one that threw me off, and it's not because of who he is or who he plays for, was Yolmer Sanchez. I didn't realize he spent that much time at second base.
Yeah, well, I was more surprised, kind of the opposite of you. I was more surprised by who he was. When you look at the names, these are all perennial. I mean, you see Kiermaier on every highlight. He's making a great catch. But, the rest of these guys, with the exception of Roberto Perez, the rest of these names just jump out at you. Mm-hmm. You know who all these guys are, and then it's like, oh, hey, there's Yolmer Sanchez. So, I'm glad somebody was paying attention and they didn't give it to an offensive second baseman because he was offensive.
Yeah. I didn't realize he played that much time. In fact, I thought he was over the utility. And, I mean, from the games I was at, when I've seen him play third base live, I mean, he's a fantastic defender.
So, yeah, and then I guess they give out something called the Players' Choice Award, which I would assume would be voted on by the players. But, apparently Mike Trout won Player of the Year and American League Most Outstanding Player. So I assume they'll just add MVP to that when all the suckers start voting because they don't know any better.
Is that just like regular unions or, your –
Yeah.
A certain way.
Yeah, I believe so. I think there's a little hint there on how it goes. So, but Curtis Granderson did win Marvin Miller Man of the Year award.
I didn't even know he was playing.
Yeah, I think he was with them. I believe he was with the Marlins, so I can understand why you didn't know he was still playing.
Yeah.
But you know, those are the awards they'll be handing out. You know, they do them slowly but surely on the MLB Network to try to, you know, try to stretch things out, slow things out. But you know, I wanted to play a game here with you, Dan, involving the 10 guys who got qualifying offers. And I just want you to tell me if you think they'll accept the qualifying offer, and if not, will he go back to the team that gave him the qualifying offer? All right.
Okay.
All right. So we start with Gerrit Cole right at the top. Obviously, this is kind of an easy one for you. So the first question, of course, should he accept the qualifying offer?
Should he or will he?
Should he? Well, either or. The better yet, yeah, will he accept the qualifying offer? We'll go that way.
No.
And then does he end up back with the Astros?
No.
Yeah, the first few will be pretty easy. Number two, we have – this is the way they have him ranked. I don't have the 10 guys ranked this way. Number two is Anthony Rendon. So will he accept the qualifying offer from the Nationals?
No.
And then does he re-sign with the Nationals?
Yes.
All right. We're going to stay in Washington then. We got Steven Strasburg. Will he accept the qualifying offer?
No.
And then does he re-sign with the Nationals?
This one's rough. I just read a bunch of stuff about it. All signs kind of point that he does, but I think he will. I think it's going to be one of those weird
awful. All right, moving on. We got Zach Wheeler of the Mets. Wheeler's only 28. For some reason, I thought he was older than that. All right, will he accept the qualifying offer from the Mets?
How many more do we have?
This is number four, so we got five more after this, or six more after this.
I'm going to go with yes.
Oh, all right, so you got him going back to the Mets. All right, here's a good one for you. Our fifth guy here, this is five, right? Yeah, we had Cole, the two Nationals. Yeah, okay, Bumgarner at five here. We got Madison Bumgarner of the Giants. Will he accept their qualifying offer?
No.
And does he end up back with the Giants?
No.
All right, here's number six, Josh Donaldson of the Braves. Does he accept the qualifying offer from the Braves?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now that would mean he would take less money than he made with them last year. You think he'd be okay in doing that?
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he had a $25 million deal with them last year.
Ooh. Yeah, this one's rough because I just don't think – I'm going to go with no. I'm going to change that one.
All right, so is he coming back to the Braves then?
No.
All right. Now we move on to Marcelo Zuna of the Cardinals. Going to turn 29 here in about a week. Will he accept the qualifying offer from the Cardinals?
No and no.
And you don't have him going back to St. Louis, huh?
No, not a chance.
All right. Here we go. We got your guy, Jake Odorizzi. Had a fantastic year with the Twins. Will he accept the qualifying offer from them?
I think this will be my second, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the guy I'm really thinking will accept it. But, you know, we'll see. Somebody was pitching the fact that he's he's not 30 yet, and they think they can get he can get a long term deal at just about the same qualifying offer. But I kind of have a feeling I think he's going to accept it from the Twins. All right, we got another Giant here. This is closer Will Smith, coming off a career year. Will he accept the qualifying offer from the Giants?
No.
And will he come back to the Giants?
No.
Oh, okay. And I believe this is our last one here. Let me check. Yeah, our last guy here, Jose Abreu of the White Sox. Will he take the $17.8 million qualifying offer?
This is rough. I feel like he would be the guy that would fit him. I'm kind of loyal to the team. I'm going with yes.
Yeah, he's a guy. It's a difficult call with him. You know, I got a feeling that it might be one of those things where he accepts the qualifying offer, and then, you know, a few weeks later they announce a long-term deal.
Yeah.
So, because I know they don't want to lose him, and it seems like he wants to stay there. You know, I mean, it seems like he's a pretty good fit for the White Sox. So I think one way or the other, he's going to end up there. I think the qualifying offer might just be the start of it, though. So yeah, well, you know, there you go. There's all our qualifying guys, and we'll see how it goes. If we can remember what you picked when the time comes around.
Well, you gave up the time fan.
Did I what?
Did you gave up the pen and paper?
Yeah, well, you know, you yell at me when I write stuff down, so I didn't write anything down. So I'm just going to work. I'm going to work completely off my memory and see how that goes.
You just have to remember who I said no to, or who I said.
Yeah. Right. It was just Wheeler. What it was? Wheeler, Smith, and Abreu, right? And Odorizzi. So you had four yeses and six noes. So.
No, I said no. This isn't gonna accept.
You had him accepting?
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't. So it was just the three yeses?
Yes.
So okay. We'll see if we can remember that when the time comes. I believe
well, I'm playing.
Do they have to make that decision?
Do they what?
They're playing. Do they have to make that decision soon? I don't remember the date.
They have 10 days.
All right,
so,
I should be able to remember.
So that was Monday?
For 10. Yeah, so they got to decide by the 14th. And, I mean, I'm sure some of the guys have already decided. Some of the guys were pretty obvious. You know, Strasburg and Cole and those guys aren't taking, you know, the offer. So.
Yeah. But, I think with them, you know, like you said, it's obvious that they're not going to. But the bigger question that brings the excitement is, will they go back?
Yeah.
Which, you know, they all want to be in SoCal, so they're all going to the Angels. So.
Yeah, it's weird. Well, apparently everybody wants to play in California, right? But there are teams in other parts of the country. So.
Well, and, you know, that's what I was reading about Strasburg. You know, he is from San Diego. He pitched for whatever team that Tony Gwynn coached for in college. But
San Diego State.
Yeah, but you've got to go with the LeBron factor, and the LeBron factor tells you that Strasburg uprooted his family last year and moved them to Washington.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know how much that's going to play into it because you can easily just move back, but. You know, that's why I kind of feel like he's going to stay in Washington. I think he'd be smart. Plus, you know, the social anxiety part of Strasburg, while what's his name is there, Nanny, I still think he would go into that system and be the guy that everyone wants to talk to and talk about.
Yeah, it's so weird. You know, like I heard today that they believe Strasburg will go to the Padres because Austin Barnes is the best rated defensive metric.
That's the other thing.
And he'll make Strasburg that much better.
Austin
and
Hedges.
The funny thing about that man is there's a chance that Austin Barnes loses his job because he can't hit. And they have Francisco Mejia, who was a top, I believe, Cardinals prospect. Cardinals or might have been Indians. But he was a top catching prospect, you know, that I believe the Cardinals brought in at one point in time in case they had to replace Yachty.
Well,
so,
we've
got Austin Barnes.
Austin Hedges.
Hmm. Thank you. Austin Barnes is the Dodgers catcher. Thank you.
Yeah. I was actually reading that before we got on. But, you know, the other part of it is the pitch framing. He's a great pitch framer, and all the teams that didn't have great pitch framing, blah, blah, blah. Well, apparently Suzuki and Gomes, right? Gomes is in Washington?
Yeah. Well, he was. They just bought him. He's a free agent.
Well, you know what I mean, for the season. So they were apparently one of the worst when it came to pitch framing. And pitch framing, you know, gives more strikeouts and less walks. But yet, the top pitch framing teams weren't in the playoffs. So.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Go figure. You know, and this is one of the biggest reasons, and I should have put this in my MLB survey I took, was let's get rid of, and I hate when people say, oh, the robot umpire. Okay, number one, it's not going to be a robot umpire because there's not going to be a robot out there.
Right.
So grow up, and let's do away with the umpire behind the plate calling balls and strikes. It'll speed the game up. You know, you can add in that stupid clock that'll help speed the game up. It'll speed the game up because you won't have anyone who can argue over balls and strikes anymore. You can be whoever you want to be and turn around and look at the ump and talk crap. And I think if that were the case, the minute that the automated strike zone is put in, if a player goes around and starts an argument, it's an immediate toss because what are you arguing? You're wasting time. You're arguing with a guy who's not making a call. So shut up and accept it, you know. But not only that, it would get rid of this stupid theory of pitch framing. Because you could pitch frame all you want, but I think what they're failing to realize is, as a catcher, you, like David Ross said, you know, post-Cubs World Series, was it wasn't so much pitch framing. It was more the relationship that he had with the umpire. And not only that, the guys behind the plate are going to know their umpires behind the plate.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of pitch framing. It's a matter of setting yourself up in the right spot. Because, I mean, we've seen it in the World Series. There was an umpire was calling everything on the inside a ball and everything on the outside a strike. And it was blatant there, but that's the way he was set up. I guess it's somewhat of a pitch framing, but that's just more taking advantage of knowing the umpire behind you. So I would love the automated strike zone.
What I always laugh about that nobody mentions during the regular season, but they mentioned it, I believe, in the World Series, was teams actually have scouting reports on umpires. You know, these umps are charted out, so you know where they're calling the majority of their strikes at. And, you know, if that works to your pitcher's strength, obviously you're going to try to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they seem to forget that during the regular, you know, anytime they got to get their point across about something analytic or sabermetric, they kind of forget, like, the David Ross statement where he said pitch framing isn't a thing, you know, and it's really just your relationship with the umpire, and, you know, this thing where teams have, you know, an umpire scouted. They kind of forget to mention those things. And, you know, again, it goes back to why ruin a good story with facts. So,
yeah. But, you know, I would like to just see this already. Like, so let's just move on with it. Let the umpire behind the plate, you know, call a guy, stay first out. You know, that's the way I see it. Plus, I think if you do that, I think more resources could be applied to having a full-time or more full-time umpires in New York or wherever the hell MLB offices are for the instant replay. Because the instant replay, I think you and I both agree, is the biggest joke in MLB baseball. So the fact that no instant replay should take more than 2 minutes. And the biggest thing that makes it a joke is the fact that whoever your manager is, let's just say Joe Madden for sake of closeness or, you know, recent, he thinks that he might have an instant replay. So what does he do? He steps up out of the dugout, puts his one foot on the top, and then just stares in the tunnel waiting for, you know, whatever intern is down there going, yeah, Joe back there said it's you know, you need to call this one. So, I mean, at least with the NFL, they have to immediately throw that flag out before that next the next snap. I mean, Major League Baseball's instant replay is a joke. The way it's set up now, you might as well just do a replay on everything and anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, the tough part with obviously getting the robot umpire, as they like to call it, it's really just a mechanical umpire. You know, the difficult part with it is going to be getting the union to give up the spot.
Yeah, but I don't think you lose a job. I don't think you lose a job, though.
No, and if they could portray it as the fact that, you know, this guy would no longer be behind home plate, but he would be upstairs as the review umpire or something like that, I think they could get it through. That's, you know, that's just going to be the difficult point of selling it or getting it across, because, you know, if it has anything to do with losing a job, you know the union isn't going to go for it.
Yeah, well, no, I don't, to be honest, I don't think you pull the umpire from behind the plate. I think he's still there to kind of make the call, if, you know, letting people know what it is.
Right? So.
Yeah, so, I mean, someone has to at least acknowledge. And, you know, they would have some kind of technology that would announce to the umpire so he could, you know, immediately throw out the hand signal.
Yeah. Does he, you know, or maybe I guess he could stand off to the side and just run onto the field when there's a play at the plate?
Yeah, that's a possibility.
You know, he could sit in one of the dugouts and then just come running out. So. You know, that could be humorous. So, yeah, but yeah, it's definitely, you know, something that needs some kind of, you know, something done. You know, because it would be funny to see a guy argue with the home plate umpire on a ball and strike call that the home plate umpire didn't make. So, you know, that would be quite humorous. So. So yeah, well, you know, we'll see. You know, obviously there's, you know, a lot to work out. I saw that they're going to do the test with this in the minors like they like to do. You know, so we'll see if it works out there, how that works out. But, you know, should be you know, should be a an interesting, definitely an interesting test we'll go with there. But, you know, and then we did have some, you know, we did have a football game last night, believe it or not. The Cowboys beat the Giants, and honestly, I don't remember the final score because, sadly, I was asleep before halftime. So when my internet catches up here, I'm gonna give it to you. So sing a little song for me while my internet gets going. Come on, we're almost there. Really, we are. Do to do. You know, practice. We're talking about practice. I should have just played that, huh? Come on. There we go. I believe it was a tight game for a while, but I think the Cowboys ended up getting away in the end, right? Is what I kind of heard. And I think Elliott had another good rushing game. He didn't do enough. My Money League Fantasy team split that he's on. So he didn't do enough to kind of get us over the top in the one game, but hey, at least we split and didn't, I don't think we lost any ground in the standings. You know, sometimes I really hate the internet. I don't know why it has to be that way for me here. It just doesn't want to, and it just doesn't, you know, then when it wants to cooperate, it wants to run slow. It's just AT&T. I can't stand frickin' this service, and I really wish I could convince my roommate to get us something else, but so far she seems to be okay with it, so... You're kidding me, right? I'm waiting for it. It's almost like having dial-up. Remember dial-up where you had to wait and wait and wait? That's almost what I feel like here. I'm two games away from what I need, and it just kind of stopped. So, anyways, we'll wait for get the score there. The big news, of course, I believe with the Panthers decided to go ahead and place Cam Newton on injured reserve, meaning his season is over. So little bit of a surprise there, because it kept seeming like they were setting up to bring him back, and you know everything was kind of going that way. The big question now becomes: is he done as a Panther? You know, because I believe if they cut him at the end of the season, they'll save like $20 million against the salary cap. So you've got to kind of ask that now. Have we seen the last of Cam Newton as a Carolina Panther, or possibly even as maybe an NFL quarterback? I mean, you got to think somebody would take a shot with him. You know, if he was out there.
He's coming to the Bears, isn't that right?
Well, remember, people wanted the Bears to trade for him. So, you know, that was kind of a strange situation. I mean, you know, there were people talking about giving up, number one picks and stuff for him. And it was like, guys, you know he's hurt, right? So... it was just really, really kind of strange. I mean, I get it. You're unhappy with Trubisky, but, we're talking about a quarterback that's had serious injuries the last couple of years. And yet it's like, oh, okay, no problem. Just go get him. You know, let's see how this works out. But, I don't know. I mean, it's a. He's still a relatively young guy. I mean, he is 30, he'll be 31 in May, but he's taken quite a pounding in his career, and it's starting to show, as things go. So I don't know, like I said, I'm sure if they were to release him, there would probably be, there are teams with horrible quarterback situations that would probably want to take a look at them. But yeah, you do wonder what he has left. So, know, and the final score from last night is what?
Is that kid from the commercial old enough yet?
He might be. I don't know. And the final score last night was 37-18. Sorry, I forgot about that there. You know, and then I know the other, you know, I guess we could call them fantasy football relative moves. The Eagles decided to put DeSean Jackson on IR. He's going to have a core muscle surgery. So he's done for the year. So if you had him at wide receiver, you're going to be looking for another wide receiver. You know, I know he came back this week, but he only played a few snaps before they shut him down and decided it was better for him to go get this surgery. So, you know, if you're going to be looking for a guy there, you know, you can check that out. And, you know, I don't know if I mentioned it or not last week, but the Seahawks did add Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
After the Patriots let him go, they did say they actually kicked the tires or did their research on Antonio Brown. So I'm glad they didn't go that way. I would rather have Josh Gordon in, even though I don't know. You know, their receiving core has been pretty solid, but, you know, maybe he could add to it a little bit. I know he was he was dinged up, when the Patriots cut him. So, you know, he's going to have to get healthy first. But, I mean, he was pretty solid for them. I mean, he had 20 catches in six games, and, you know, he wasn't a primary target. But maybe he can help Seattle out here a little bit down the stretch and see how it goes. But, yeah, I don't think he's going to be a huge a huge fantasy help or anything. And then the other thing you got to look at, if you were riding the Gardner Minshew train as your quarterback while Nick Foles was out, you know, the Jaguars are on bye this week, and Foles comes back next week. They've already announced that he'll be the starter in week, what is this going to be? This is 11, so week 12 that I believe we're on to. So, yeah, or no, it's going to be week 10. So when they come back in week 11, Foles will be the starter. So, yeah, like I said, if you were riding the Minshew train and you don't have you didn't happen to have Nick Foles on IR or whatever it is, you're going to have to go hunt down another quarterback. And if that happens to be in our league with 20 teams, good luck.
So. Yeah. Well, I've got three quarterbacks and two are IR'd. And I have Marcus Mariota, who I don't believe is playing anymore. He got benched.
No, he's on the bench, yeah. So.
And I think I had Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton's on the bench, too. I got lucky and found Ryan Fitzpatrick on the waiver wire last week because my quarterback was on bye, and I believe either Dalton or Mariota was my backup, and they didn't do me any good, so I cut him. And luckily enough, I found Fitzpatrick. I only need him for the 1 week. So that worked out nicely for me. But, yeah, it's ugly in those 20-team leagues when they decide, well, we're going to bench this quarterback or, you know, this quarterback got hurt because, guys are always looking. Obviously, with, 20 teams, not everybody can have two quarterbacks. For the utility position to add quarterback in there, could you imagine the frenzy then?
Well, you know, I mean, I hear a lot of people don't like that option, which I think is, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't see the negative. If it's a flex position that offers you all positions, I mean, everyone's going to try to have two quarterbacks. I mean, you know, like I offered that up. I asked about that in my work league. And, I mean, they were just, no, you can't do, you know. I'm like, people just did not like it. I'm like, he's an offensive player. You know, if you have two good, if you are lucky enough to have two really good quarterbacks, why not throw them in? And it's not just like, oh, I'm going to play both every week. But you're going to have a bye week, and maybe it works out. But, you know, but. With that said, though, even though my work league is 12 teams, Big Jack, I can't find crap on the waiver wire to help my team.
So that's surprising that you can't you can't come up with one in a 12-team league.
Yeah, well, that and it's just other positions, and plus it's the ESPN league. I just don't like the ESPN format.
So yeah, I do the baseball there, and it's okay. I don't like it better than Yahoo.
No, I just feel like Yahoo is so much more user friendly.
Yeah,
I don't, you know, I think it's redundant that if I want to edit my lineup, that I have to hit an edit button to edit. You know what? Doesn't make sense.
So yeah, it's one of those. I guess maybe if we would have started playing in you know, the Mickey Mouse leagues, we would be better equipped at it. Yahoo just seems quite simple. You make your changes pretty easily, and it doesn't seem difficult to do. So, but, I did want to ask you, it seems like the big thing we missed, Dan, from Monday night was the cat on the field. I think every show I've watched, including on the MLB Network, has covered the cat being on the field last night.
Field of what? Dreams?
For the Monday night football game.
Oh.
They had a black cat run onto the field. It was just kind of like, And I was like, oh, okay. But, yeah, I mean, it got, you know, and I to be fair, the one guy did play-by-play for it that I heard was really humorous. You know, I mean, he literally called it like the cat was running into the end zone, and it was very funny. But, I mean, it got a ton of play, and I was just like, okay, guys, we're a little out of control here, aren't we? That, you know, we're running, you know, cats into the end zone as a big thing, but okay.
But you know how those stories take off. Do you remember the Cardinals with their squirrel?
Yeah.
Those stories always take a life of their own for whatever reason.
It was just kind of like, oh, okay, I guess we've got to, got to deal with a cat thing. So
it'd be more fun if it happened on the ice rink or the NBA.
Hey, speaking of ice, I finally got a guy back off of IR, and they called one of my guys up. So I'm gonna have to make some hockey changes, it looks like, for tomorrow's lineup. So that'll be nice. I'm actually getting some of my guys back. I lost again, freaking 7-3 last week. So, hopefully I'll have a better week this week. But yeah, I'm scuffling in both basketball and hockey, man. I don't know how you're doing, but I am struggling.
I had to make some major adjustments to hockey, but I'm kind of smooth sailing right now in the NBA.
We'll come back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this on again for you. You know the deal while we're gone, though. Go to sportsradio.com. This is going to be like popping up there tomorrow. Of course, while you're over there, just so you can follow over to Facebook page. You know what I'm over there. Go ahead and give it a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is @SportsTimeRadio. Feel free to look at the analytics on Twitter as well. We don't have a problem with that. As always, big thanks for coming by and listening to us live. But if you do happen to miss it, just head on over to TuneIn.com. You can listen anytime you want.